Good morning, good chodesh to everybody. Bruchim aboyim, b'shem Hashem. We hope everybody had a meaningful and enjoyable Chag HaPesach. Those of you who came to Beit Shemesh, we hope you survived the trip. And the truth is, we haven't actually left Pesach. The Ramban famously tells us that the days between Pesach and Shavuos are called Chol HaMoed. The Ramban says, where is the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach? Sukkot has 7 days, followed by a Shmini Atzeres. Pesach has 7 days. Where is the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach? Which sounds perhaps a strange question, because if we would have been asked the question, I think we all would have answered, there isn't one. There's no Shmini Atzeres. The Ramban says, no, there is. Chag HaShavuos, which in the Torah is called what? Atzeres. That is the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach. And the days, therefore, in between, says the Ramban, are Chol HaMoed. We're actually, at the moment, in the middle of Chag HaPesach, we're in the days of Chol HaMoed. Now, clearly, it's not literally Chol HaMoed. We don't have an Issa Melocha, etc., etc. So what the Ramban clearly means, that hashkafically, the Avodah is the Avodah of Chol HaMoed, meaning we haven't left Pesach. We're still very much leading up to the Tachlis, as we're about to explain, of Zman Chag Cheiruseinu, as we lead up to Zman Matan Teiruseinu HaBoaleinu L'Teilo. So we're going to discuss, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, today, a critically important topic. And if we want to give the shir a title, we're going to call it Growth in Avodas Hashem. Growth in Avodas Hashem. We're all trying to grow. We're all trying to ensure that we're B'nai Aliyah, B'nois Aliyah. And we're going to discuss very, very important Yesodos, Chashuvim B'yosa, on how a person should ensure that he really is a Ben Aliyah in his Avodas Hashem. This is, after all, a parasha shir. So let's begin with the parasha. Now we know it's a double parasha, Tazria Mitzora. So let's have a look at a pasuk in the beginning of Parashas Tazria, where the Torah writes, an Isha Yoledes, a woman who's given birth. Following her birth, she comes to the Beis HaMikdosh and she has to bring korbanos. Why does she have to bring a korban? What did she do wrong? Chazal say that because during the birth process, the pains of the labor, she might well have taken a shvua that never again, I don't want to ever have to go through this again, I don't want to be married, v'chulei v'chulei, so she brings korbanos as a kapara, because we're sure that she now regrets it. So which korbanos does she have to bring? So the Torah says, it depends on how wealthy she is, but if she's poor, the Torah says she brings two korbanos, two birds. Loshon of the pasuk is, listen carefully, echad la'oila ve'echad lechatos. Two korbanos, an oila and a chatos. So the Gemara asks, and Rashi quotes this Gemara, that one moment, we have a principle that whenever a person has to bring two korbanos, a chatos and an oila, which one comes first? And the answer is, a chatos comes first. Of these two korbanos, by the way, which is the more kodosh of the two? The chatos or the oila? Oila, obviously. The oila is oila, kuloi, kolil, lashem. There is no human consumption at all in this korban, unlike the chatos, which is partially consumed by the korbanos. The oila is the more holy of the two korbanos. It comes second. First the chatos, and then the oila. With the obvious question being, so why now parasha with the yoledes does it say echod la'oila ve'echod lechatos? The order is the wrong way around. It should have said the other way, echod lechatos and then la'oila. Why is the oila mentioned first? So the Gemara answers a very strange teretz, and the Gemara says, you're right. Of course, she has to sacrifice the chatos and then the oila, But nonetheless, it's written the Oila before the Chatos. And of course, that's extremely strange because you haven't really answered the question. That was the question. That was precisely the kasha. The kasha was that if the Chatos is brought first, so why is the Oila being mentioned first? So how can you answer, well, even though you bring the Chatos first, but the Oila still has to be mentioned first? That was the question. How, indeed, did the Gemara answer the question? So I'd like to share with you a yesoid, but we're going to make an introduction. This yesoid, a brief but very fundamental yesoid, was taught to us by the Menahel of the Gateshead Yeshiva, and the sefer that he wrote is called Nachalas Eliezer. The Menahel was Harav Kahn. And he, in a very brief passage, asks this question: why, if the Chatos is sacrificed first, what does the Gemara mean that nonetheless the Oila has to be stated first? What does that mean? But before we get to his Yesod, let's make an introduction and let's come back to the period of time that we find ourselves in at the moment. Klal Yisrael are languishing in Mitzrayim in a terrible, terrible spiritual situation. Besides for their physical matzav, mem tes shari tumah, oyved avoydu zara. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell them? The good news is, there's going to be a geula. It's going to be a geula. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not only is there going to be a geula, but you know what's going to happen afterwards, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the famous pasuk, ta'avdun esho Elohim al hahar hazeh. You will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this mountain. Which mountain is being referred to? Obviously, Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is predicting, foretelling that there's going to be Kabbalas HaTorah on this mountain. And that, therefore, is the Tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The true celebration of Pesach is not so much that we left Mitzrayim, but rather that we lead up to Kabbalas HaTorah. And that's why we said before that Shavuos is the climax. That's the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach. If you don't have a Shavuos, then there's no point having a Pesach. Where do we say this very, very sharply? To the Rasha. The Rasha is very cynical. What does he say? Who needs this? Who's interested in Torah and mitzvahs? And what do we say to him? Do you know something? If the Russia would have been in Mitzrayim, he never would have been redeemed in the first place. Why not? Because he's not interested in Torah and mitzvahs. If the whole tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim is Torah and mitzvahs, Kabbalas HaTorah, then if the Russia is going to be disparaging, cynical, we don't need Torah, we don't need mitzvahs, then you may have well just remained in Mitzrayim. You wouldn't have been redeemed because there's no tachlis for you whatsoever. So every year, Chayav Adam Lirois es Atzmoi, every year we leave, as it were, Mitzrayim once again, and we build up to the tachlis of Kabbalas HaTorah. We build Kabbalas HaTorah. And that build up, which we're in the middle of at the moment, we're on the 15th day, actually began, and this may not be so well known, it began in Mitzrayim. If I were to ask you a question, when do you think Klal Yisrael for the very first time counted the Omer? So we surely all would have said, well, presumably after Matan Torah, they received the mitzvah, Usfaratem Lochem, Imochras HaShavah, so presumably the next year they counted the Omer. That's a mistake. The Rishonim tell us a chidush. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael and he tells them what? As HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him, it will come the time, you're going to be redeemed. Ta'avdun Esho Elohim Al Hahar Hazeh. Do you know what it says? Then when Klal Yisrael heard that, they immediately started counting day by day in the lead up to Matan Torah. So Sfiras Omer, the first time it was counted, was actually before Matan Torah. Not only that, one of the Rishonim say, grammatically, I think we all agree that the word ha'avdun is a very strange word. What would we have expected it to be written? Ta'avdu, you will serve. So do you know what the Rishonim say? Ta'avdun, do you know what the hint was? Ta'avdu nun in 50 days. Klal Yisrael got the hint. Ta'avdun, there's going to be Kabbalah Satorah in nun days, in 50 days. And they started counting right there and right then. Spirit Sa'imah. So that build up, that journey, that process from Pesach until Shavuos began that very first year in Pesach Mitzrayim, and that is what's been relived every single year since. But you know what's critical to understand is why indeed did they count every day? Why did they count? Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Moshe tells Klal Yisrael there's going to be a Kabbalah Satorah, so they begin. One, two, three. So one understanding is out of excitement. We're very excited. If you have a big, exciting event, you have a chasana, a big vacation on the horizon, so you count. One day, 2 days, how many to go? And some Rishonim indeed say that's the Indian of Sfiras Ha'Ema. But there's another Indian, and this is the Nakuda, and this is our first Nakuda this morning, Rabbi Yisrael. The counting of the Omer is not just an excitement in the lead up to Matan Torah, it's the preparation to Matan Torah. And why did they need a preparation? Because Klal Yisrael, as we said before, were in a terrible spiritual state. Memtesh Sharei Tumah. You cannot be Makabal the Torah when you're in Memtesh Sharei Tumah. They needed to be Chayzer B'Tshuva. They were Oyved Avodah Zarah. Remember the Chazal when they came to Kriyas Yamsuf? What did the Malachim say? Halal Oyved Avodah Zarah. Halal Oyved Avodah Zarah. There's no difference between them and the Mitzrayim. Why should they be with you? So they needed to undertake not just an excitement, but a preparation in the lead up to Matan Torah. And we're going to discuss this more later on, about the nature of this preparation. But that clearly, it was a process, not just of excitement, of anticipation and eagerness, but also of preparation, of hachana towards Matan Torah. So this is now the first yesod. Because when you undergo a process of tshuva, of chizuk, of aliyah, do you know what that could be compared to? When you get in the car and you're about to undertake a lengthy journey and you switch on your Waze machine, what's the first thing you do? You type in your final destination. I'm not there yet, but I need to know where I'm heading. I cannot possibly begin my journey if I don't know what my final destination is. I don't claim that I'm there yet. I don't claim it'll be easy. There's a lot of twists and turns, rights and left. But the first thing is, where am I going to? What's my destination? Klal Yisrael, therefore, were told, not only are you leaving Mitzrayim and there's a journey of tshuva, which is now being undertaken, but know, right from the outset, you have to know what your final destination is. Ta'avdun eso Elohim al ha'har hazeh. You have to know what the tachlis is. Where am I going to? What am I trying to achieve over here? Do you know, somebody once came to the great Ponovitch Mashkiach, he was also the Mira Mashkiach, Reb Chatzke Levenstein, Zeichet Tzadik Livrach, and he said to him, I've just been appointed as a Mashkiach in the yeshiva. And he said, I feel very uncomfortable with this new position. Part of my job obviously entails that I say shiurim and I give musa shmuzim. So I'm going to have to talk about hasmod b'torah and tefillah, chesed, emunah, bitochin. To be perfectly honest, who says I'm so perfect myself? Who am I to lecture other people? You have to daven and concentrate. I'm the world's best davener. And you have to be a Baal Emunah and Bitochen. I'm so stuck in my Emunah and Bitochen, I feel very uncomfortable to keep droshes and shiurim. Shabchatz Levenstein says a muridika thing. He said, you don't have to be perfect in any of the subjects that you're giving shiurim in. But as long as we're dealing with subjects that you have a plan, albeit you're in the middle of the journey and not at the end, but you know where you're heading to, you're trying to achieve it, you're allowed to give Musa Shmuz. Are you Sayyid Godel? I'm not there yet. I'm not the world's best davener. I don't claim I'm the biggest Baal Chesed. I don't claim to be the biggest Masnik. But I'm on a journey and I know where I'm heading. I'm a Ben Aliyah. I'm trying to get there. I'm growing and growing and growing. But I've typed in on my Waze machine, what is my final destination? What am I trying to achieve with this process of growth? Somebody once came to Rabbeinu HaChofetz Chaim and says, you know, I hope, amidst Hashem, you know what my she'ifa is, my big aspiration is, that I should be zeicha to be kaveya itim l'teira every day. The Chofetz Chaim says, you know, if you have a she'ifa to be a godel b'teira, then amidst Hashem, at least you'll be kaveya itim every day. But if your she'ifa is just to be kaveya itim, I don't know if that will happen either. What's your final destination? What are you trying to achieve? Godless? Or are you happy just on the first rung of the ladder? You're going to reach the summit. You have to know what your destination is. What am I trying to achieve? It's a process. It's not an overnight process. It's 49 days. It's true. But where are you headed? What is the destination? So we come back to Parshas Tazria. And she has to bring this Yoledes, a Korban Chatos, and then an Oilos. Why does the Torah say Oilos first? What did the Gemara say? It's true, she's Makriv the Chatos before the Oilos. But the Torah has to state the Oilos before the Chatos. What does that mean? That was the question. Said the gates of Menal. Yes, the Chatos has to come first. First the Chatos, then the Oilos. At the beginning of your journey, you're not yet up to the Oila. That's only the second stage, that's your final destination. So, true. Practically, the Chatos is sacrificed first, but he says, but whilst you're being Makriv your Chatos, you have to know your final destination. Where am I heading to? The Chatos is not my final stop. I'm not settling for mediocrity. Chatos, no, that's good enough for me. No, the Oila has to be stated first, because, just like we said on the Waze machine, what do you type in the first thing? Your final destination, even though I'm not there yet. So even though practically, in order to get to my final destination, I've got to go through various stops, but that's not what I type in my machine. What I type into the Waze machine is Ya'ad Sofi, final stop. This Ben Aliyah, this Yoledes who wants to grow in her Avodas Hashem, yes, practically, she has to bring the Chatos first. But she has to know why she's bringing that Chatos. She's already thinking about Oila. She's already knowing quite clearly what her final destination is. And this is, therefore, our first Yesod this morning. It's a general principle. We're going to break it down now to three important protim. But the first step in growth in Avodas Hashem is, what am I trying to achieve? Am I trying to achieve? Or am I basically fairly happy in the position that I find myself in at the moment? That's it, I'm happy to remain as a Chatos, that's good enough for me. No. Whilst I'm bringing the Chatos, I'm aiming for the Oila. Whilst I'm still leaving Mitzrayim, I'm aiming for the Tav Dunes Oleikim Alahor Azeh. For a person to be a Ben Aliyah, to a person to have big, lofty aspirations, realistic aspirations, but to aim high. Like the Chofetz Chaim said, don't aim to be a Kaveya Itim L'Teira. Aim to be a Godel B'Teira, then at least you'll be a Kaveya Itim L'Teira. So let's go back to Mitzrayim. As mentioned, this becomes for us the prototype, that build-up, not just the excitement, it was a build-up, it was a preparation for Matan Torah. Klal Yisrael were expressing not just anticipation, excitement towards Kabbalah Satayra, but they were expressing an appreciation that we need to prepare ourselves. We need to be a B'nai Aliyah. We cannot be Makabal Torah in our current dire situation. So what did we say? The Rishonim pointed out, they began counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 48, 49. They find themselves at Sinai. There are three Yesoidos G'doylim Mo'oid that we need to learn from that story. And the truth is, each one of them we should really dedicate a whole shiur to, but we don't have time. So we're going to try and briefly capture these three principles that I think can be learned from the Sfiras HaOmer, and specifically of the Sfiras HaOmer of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And this becomes our directive, or directives, for spiritual growth. Growth, we're all trying to be B'nai Aliyah. We're all trying to be B'nai Aliyah. As an introduction, it was noticed that the great Alto of Slobodka, the original Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel, who besides everything else was the genius mechanech, it was noticed in his yeshiva there were two bochrim, two outstanding bochrim. One of the bochrim, who is particularly outstanding, the Alto of Slobodka seemed to be makar of him less. The other bocher, who was also an excellent bocher, but certainly not of the stature of the first, and the Alto was makar of him more. And they asked him, why is that? And there was a whole long moshel and varter, we don't have time to go into it, but the bottom line is, he said, because this bocher, who indeed is on a higher level, but he's not a mavakish. He doesn't seem to be striving to become even better. In other words, he's not a ben aliyah. He's very knowledgeable and he learns a lot. The second bocher might not yet be up to that standard, but he's a ben aliyah. He's trying to grow. He's typed into his Waze machine where his final destination is. He's aiming high. That's why he was Makarivim, and this is what we're all trying to do. You know, you're allowed to learn from Goyim as well. Don't Chazal say that? Im yesh chochma la Goyim. There was a cello player. They say he was the world's greatest celloist. His name was Pablo Casals. He lived into his 90s. They say he was the world's greatest celloist. Every single day of his life, he used to play his cello. He used to practice for 6 hours a day. Never. 6 hours a day. So somebody approached him and said, Casals, they say that you're the greatest celloist that ever lived. So could you tell me, why are you still practicing 6 hours a day? And he answered, because I feel that I'm still improving. Lahavdil, elef, alfei avdolos, that has to be our attitude. I'm still improving. I'm trying to work. Upwards, onwards, forwards. And I'm not satisfied with the situation I'm in at the moment. Do you know, the Gemara says something very strange. Homom min ha-toira minayin. What does the Gemara answer? Ha-min ha-eitz hazeh. Because when Adam was in Gan Eden, ha-min ha-eitz hazeh. It sounds like some type of word game. Homom, ha-min. What does the Gemara mean? Do you know what the Gemara means? Adam, Harishon, had everything. Free reign of all of Gan Eden, except for one tree. Ha-min ha-eitz hazeh, that not. And he stumbled. It wasn't good enough for him. No, I need it all. Wasn't Haman exactly the same? He had the entire world bowing down to him. What does he say? Kol ze inenu shoveli. Wherever I see Mordechai not bowing down to me, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. That's what it means. Haman is the same midah as the Hamin. Adam had everything. No, I need more. But we need to learn the positive aspect of that. The positive aspect is, yes, it's a very positive thing to strive for, at least in Ruchnias, to feel, I don't have enough. And you know something? It's in our bones, it's in our genes. We're called the Bnei Yisrael, we're named after Yaakov Avinu. What was the difference between Yaakov and Esav, the way they were born? Esav means Osui. Don't Chazal say he was born with the body of a full-grown adult? What does that mean? What does that represent? Osui, I'm done. I'm not interested in growing. But how does Yaakov emerge? Yodoi oichezes ba'akev Esav. I'm striving for more. I don't have enough, I'm trying to get more. That's Yaakov Avinu's Nida. We're called the Bnei Yisrael. We're named after that. We're all natural Bnei Aliyah. That feeling of Hamon, of Hamin. No, it's not enough. Hamin, Hamin. Yodoi Chezes. I need more. That's the Ben Aliyah. Somebody who's not a Ben Aliyah sort of pats himself on the back. Listen, I daven and I keep Shabbos, I keep Halacha. That's good enough for me. It's okay. But don't you think you could strive for more? Say that, but I look around and pretty much I'm doing okay. It's not a race, it's not a competition. What is your final destination? How good can you be? Not in comparison or relation to other people. That is the outlook. That is the constant feeling of a Ben Aliyah. Not one of Chas v'Shalom being depressed or down. To be proud of our achievements, but that feeling of Yodoi Oichezes, Hamino Eitzeze. It's not good enough. I'm proud of where I've achieved so much, so far, but I think I can go further. I need to go further. I will go further. So very briefly, three fundamental points. The general Nakuda is, as we said in the beginning, I have to, yes, be a Ben Aliyah. I've got to aim high. When I'm bringing the Chatos, I'm still thinking already about the Oilam. Point number one. Klal Yisrael were told that they're leaving Mitzrayim, Ta'avdun, and they began counting. When did they begin counting? Straight away. This is something that we've spoken about early on in the year. I think I mentioned it, those were there, the Sarah Shemira conference that we had. This inyan of a person is inspired to move forward, to be chayzer b'tshuva. Don't talk about it. Just start. Remember that mashal? The matisyo, but that chapan the moment. Don't talk about it, just get in the car. This is the first yisoid of being a Ben Aliyah. We all have ups, we all have downs, let's be honest. But we have those moments of inspiration. We have those feelings from time to time, hopefully more often than not, that I feel I need to grow, I want to grow. Don't push it off till next week. Don't push it off till next month. Don't push it off till tomorrow. You know, last Shabbos morning, in the middle of davening, I had an idea. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if after davening, there's more time now. We're in the Shabbos, Shabbos days are longer. Maybe there should be more limud Torah in the shul. So I said a drasha in the shul. I normally don't give a drasha Shabbos morning, but I did last week and I said, Rabbi Isai, we're preparing for Matan Torah. I think it'd be a beautiful thing if after davening we split up the kehillah into groups of four and fives, and there'll be a Dvar Torah each week. Each person will give a Dvar Torah in his group for 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu a few more minutes, and don't worry, the cholent will wait. But I said, Rabbi Yisai, I think it's a good idea. Do you know when we're going to start it? Today. Because if I would have announced, Mr. Hashem, we'll start next week, it'll come next week, it's long forgotten, and yeah, didn't you say next week? When did you? No, we're starting now. And the shul was packed after davening. It was a Kiddush Hashem Neira. Suddenly you realize, you know, you jump yourself into it, you get Siyata Dishmaya. So this is the first Yesoi, the first of the 3 points. Klal Yisrael were informed there's going to be a Matan Torah, so they started counting. But when did they start counting? Immediately. Don't wait. Because we know the Yetzer Hara is fantastic at this. Yeah, tomorrow. Now it's busy, but prepare. There's Shabbos coming up. And then, 1 second, after Shabbos, you've got to recover from Shabbos, and you've got to be busy, and you've got your finals, and you've got exact today. Remember the Medrash we once quoted, Rabbi Akiva? He saw the hole in the stone. What's the most important word in that whole story? The Medrash says, Miyad, Miyad Holach. That was his whole success. We spoke about that then. Yesh Koino Elom V'Shoah Achas. So this is a phenomenally important principle of being a Ben Aliyah, that when we have those moments of inspiration, act on them, work on them, begin straight away. Second Nakuda. When Klal Yisrael counted the Omer, there's something else that we need to learn. And that is, they did not count week by week. They counted day by day. This is another Yisoid Godel in being a Ben Aliyah. Great people grew from taking small steps. It's true, we're very tempted to go for the big ones. Imagine you decided today, that's it, I'm having a chizuk, I'm trying to be mischazuk in my tefillah. So I think to myself, you know, that's it, I'm going to try my best to have kavana in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esra. And all of a sudden there's this voice in my ear that says, first bracha? Did you know it's called Shemoneh Esra? One bracha, one out of 18, one out of 19, that's going to be your chizuk. No, 18 brachas. Where was the source of that second voice? Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is rubbing his hands with glee. If he can only get you to be makabal, I'm going to machazik in 18 brachas. How long will it last? Maybe one tefillah. Probably not even that. You have to know, Anoshim Gedoilim began with small steps. Greatness is achieved in small steps. To make leaps and bounds in Avodas Hashem doesn't go. Which keli in the Beis Hamikdash represents Avoida? The Mizbeach. Did you ever notice there were no steps going towards the Mizbeach? What was there? A ramp, a kevesh. You know what the difference is? A step, you can only go up steps if you climb the particular height of the step. So if the architect designed steps that are 30 centimeters high, then you've got to lift up your foot 30 centimeters. That's it. And if you go 29 centimeters, you'll never move. But not with a ramp. With a ramp, you can go up incrementally, stage by stage, millimeter by millimeter. That's how you grow in your avodah, day by day. You know, a scary line I once saw in the Vilna Goyim. Don't we have a guarantee from Chazal? We have a guarantee, you know? B'derech sha'odom roitza leilei, how does it carry on? Moilichi noisei. Gafsiyata d'shmaya? I want to be a Ben Aliyah. I want to go in this direction, moilichi noisei. So how come sometimes we don't see that siyata d'shmaya? I'm trying. It's gainished. Lo olech, it's not going, how come? You know what the Vilna Goyim says in Mishlei? Frightening line. B'derech sha'odom roitze. Next word. Leilech. Not likfoitz. Not in the way that you want to jump. In the way you want to go. And if you try jumping and leaping in your Avodas Hashem, then you won't get siyata d'shmaya. So don't come with complaints to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. B'derech sha'odom roitze leilech. Small steps, you'll have siyata d'shmaya. You've all heard of the Sefer, Sifsei Chaim, Reb Chaim Freelander, Ponovich Mashkiach. Beautiful Sefer, very popular Sforim. They printed his Sforim after he passed away. And in the first Chelek, there's an absolutely fascinating couple of pages. They discovered, after he was Nifter, his notebooks, where he had written every single year before Yomim Noiroim his own personal Kabbalahs. And they printed them. They printed all his Kabbalahs each year, Tofshi and this and Tofshi and this. And one of them, I was looking through these Kabbalahs, it absolutely grabbed hold of me. And he writes there, Hareini mekabel olai bli neder. He says, I'm going b'milchoma against the middah of atzlus, laziness. Now we can only imagine. I think we'd be quite happy to have the atzlus of Reb Chaim Freelander. But he felt on his level there was a certain element of atzlus, of laziness, and he says, I'm going out b'milchoma. That's what he writes. And he says, I'm going to go eitzois v'tachbulois. I'm going to think of different ways and strategies. And then he adds the following. This is what he wrote. This is his own words. Ukamuvon. Understandably. Zelo yale biyodi. This will not come to my hand. Loi biyomim achodim. Not just a few days. Veloi bishvuos achodim. Elorak alidei avoido memusheches. Intense, continuous avoido shel chadoshim v'shonim. Is all his words. Chadoshim v'shonim. Kadosh Baruch Hu has patience. Not, I want to really be mischazik in my atzlos. This time next week I'm going to be the world's greatest zoris. No, chadoshim v'shonim. This is one of the yesoidos of the Yimei HaOmer. We don't just count once a week. We count in small increments, day by day. Great people achieved greatness through small steps. Absolutely critical. And finally, what is the third and final point that we can learn from the Yimei HaOmer? Not only did Klal Yisrael begin straight away, not only did they count in small stages, but they counted every single day. That's the third and final Yisoid. Something else we can learn from the Yimei HaOmer. If a person wants to be a Ben Aliyah, he needs to be a Ben Aliyah continuously. Have you ever noticed, have you ever thought about, what does that mean to be a Ben Aliyah? How do you translate that? The son of Aliyah? Who am I the son? Who's my father? What does that mean, a Ben Aliyah? What does it mean, a Ben Torah? Do you know what a Ben is? We have one of the 39 malachas, which sounds very similar to the word Ben. Which one is that?
Boine.
Do you know what Boine is? The Rambam says that when we make cheese on Shabbos, that's the malacha of Boine. We all think that what does Boine mean? Taking a hammer, screws, making a wall. The Rambam says, it comes from a Gemara, if you make cheese, that's malachas Boine. Do you know why? Says the Rambam, because you take various components and you bring them all together, ad sheyasu guf echon, until they become all connected. That's boina. A ben, miloshen boina, is connected to his father forever. You can have two friends, and if they have an argument and they fall out, then they're not connected anymore. But a ben, even if he doesn't speak to his father for 100 years, but he's always connected. Beno kara da'avua, he's the leg of the father, he's connected. Ben miloshen boina means connection. A ben Torah is not somebody who learns Torah. Rather, it means somebody who is forever connected to Torah. A ben aliyah is not somebody who occasionally is growing in their avodas Hashem. Rather, they're connected to it in a continuous way. Maybe let's just finish off with a frightening line, but really this is something that we should think about. Would you agree that if you ask every man, for example, in Klal Yisrael, every frum Jew, what are you learning at the moment? So they'll have an answer. Nobody won't have an answer. Everybody will have an answer. What am I learning? Baba Kama. What am I learning? Brachas. What am I learning? Shabbos. I don't think any Jew that we know, any from you, is scared to be asked that question. What are you learning? I'll tell you exactly what I'm learning. But what about the following question? And this, we have to look ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves, am I frightened to be asked the following question? If somebody would ask me today, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, not before Yom Kippur Me'ilah, tell me, not what are you learning? What area of Avodas Hashem are you working on at the moment? Is that a question that I'm happy to answer anytime? Is that a question that I have an answer to at all times? Or, to be perfectly honest, is my answer, well, I've taken a bit of a break, it was a very intense Pesach. Talk to me in Elul. Because if that's the answer, then I'm not a Ben Aliyah. I'm somebody who occasionally is Oyla, but I'm not a Ben Aliyah. The whole avoid of Yemei Ha'im is to count every single day. It's true, we have better days and we have worse days. But somebody who is frightened on occasion, Chas v'shalom, nobody should ask me that frightening question, what is it that you're working on at the moment in your Avodas Hashem? If they're scared to be posed that question, then they're not really Ben Aliyah. The true Ben Aliyah, of course, doesn't need to publicize and doesn't need to flaunt, but is never scared to be asked, and most importantly, by themselves, what am I working on at the moment in my Avodas Hashem? I can't work on everything. I have to be realistic. Am I working on my tefillah? Am I working on my tzniyas? Am I working on my chesed? Am I working on my diktuk halacha? Whatever it may be. But the limit of the Yemei Ha'oyma is it's daily. It's every single day. We have better days and we have worse days, but we're trying our best every single day. So these are three critically important lessons. Again, our introductory yesod is when you begin any project of Aliyah, what is the destination? Where am I going? Whilst I bring the chatos, am I aware that I'm heading for the oilo? That's a general nakuda. But to be broken down into three. Number one, when we have that inspiration as a Ben Aliyah, to begin. There and then. Just like Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. They were told there's going to be a Matan Torah, they started counting straight away. Number one. Number two, to understand that gadlus is achieved in small steps. Don't listen to these fantastic, too good to be true eitzes. This is the way that you could change your tefillah overnight. You ever seen these slogans? Become a Baal Bitochen in a week. Ignore those. Nobody ever became a Baal Bitochen in a week. Nobody turned around their tefillah in a week. The great Ponovich and Mashkiach told us that to work on Atzmus is going to take Chadoshim Vashonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has patience. This is the second Yisrael. The Yemei Ha'oima was not just undertaken straight away, it was undertaken in small stages. That is the Derech to Gadlus. And thirdly, and finally, to be a Ben Aliyah, it's counting every single day. Not just in Elul, and not just on before Yom Tovim, to have a constant project. It's true, some days I look back and I think, to be honest, it wasn't my best today. My davni was not the way it should be. My smears, my chesed, my dikta b'halacha, my bein orim l'chaveri, whatever it may be, but it's a project that I'm involved with constantly. I'm a true Ben Aliyah. Do you know why I'm a true Ben Aliyah? Because I'm an enikel, a proud enikel of Yaakov Avinu. Yodoy oichezes, yodoy oichezes. I'm not like Esav, I'm done. Leave me alone, I'm fully grown. I'm yodoy oichezes, I'm always trying to get hold of more. Just like Homon. He had everything, almost, but wasn't satisfied. And he's always looking for that. Hamin ha'etzazer. That is the true outlook of a Ben Aliyah. These are the three yesoides in being an emistik of Ben Aliyah. When I have that chizuk to begin straight away, to take it in small stages, and above all, it has to be a constant project, just like the Yemei Ha'oyma. If we're able to think about and internalize these yesoides, and Be'ezus Hashem will go through our Chol HaMoed and have a meaningful lead-up and preparation to Chag Matan Teiruseinu Abo Oleinu L'Tiro.